Good morning. How is everybody today? Good. Thank you all so much for being with us this morning. We are excited to welcome you to our annual Christmas Endeavor service. We call it the Endeavor because it's something that we always try to do. I don't know that we've ever really succeeded. But I'm very thankful for the folks who are willing to share their talents with our church, especially through music, but also in other ways. So I feel like it's a neat opportunity for us to encourage those in our church who have talent and have gifts. And we're just excited to share with you this morning. So thank you so much for being here. We're going to go ahead and get started. But before we do, I'm going to ask Brother Norman Martin if you would open us up in a word of prayer, please, sir.
We would like to give an opportunity for you to give your Lottie Moon offering this morning. And so we've got a little box here, and it kind of represents a treasure chest. You know, Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And your heart is going to follow your treasure. And one of the ways that we really develop a love for the work, for the ministry, is we pour ourselves into it. We give to it. We work in it. It becomes meaningful. And it becomes important. And suddenly you care a lot more. I want to encourage you this morning to give from your heart, out of whatever God's enabled you to give, and just trust that He is able to do far more with what we have than we could ever do. And so let's just ask God to bless this moment and this offering, and just use it for His glory. We heard the Chimes Choir playing "Let There Be Peace on Earth." You know, the way that there's going to be peace on earth is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing peace to hearts right here in our community and all across the world. And that's our prayer this morning. So let's bow. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to give to Your work. And we pray today for our missionaries. We pray for their families. We pray that you will bring exactly what they need today. You'll bless them and provide for them and use them. Father, give them much fruit in their service and lead them in what they do and how they do it. And so, Father, we just give you all the praise this morning, and we glorify and magnify your name, Jesus. And we pray that you will be proclaimed through what we give today. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Baby. It's about a baby. It's about a newborn child. It's about the reason for this season tonight. It's all about the present, the gift dying on the tree. It's about a silent night, holy night for you and me. How fitting that God sent a child to save me. The hope of the world wrapped up in a tiny baby. So in the middle of Christmas, amazing. It's about a baby. Thank you. Silent night, holy night.
comes.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light for the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. The sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. Alleluia, oh how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday.
Love incarnate, love divine.
Amen. Well, I'm very, very appreciative of those that have shared this morning and of the messages that have been given through song and through some amazing words and just through a celebration of what God has done in sending Jesus. So I was thinking about this service and, you know, what we normally do leading up to Christmas. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are much like me. I'm sure you are. It was kind of hard for me to get real jazzed up about it, to get really excited, just because Christmas is a tough time of year for a lot of reasons for a lot of folks. But the extreme commercialization and the attitudes of a lot of people and the emphasis on things and on possessions and on ourselves is frankly kind of disgusting. And so it's hard. It was hard for me when I first started thinking about this to say, you know what, God, what do you have here? I thought, oh, it's Christmas. I love Christmas, or I'm supposed to love Christmas. So, okay, here we go. But through that, God had to deal with me a little bit and had to say, you know what? Go back and look at what Christmas really is. And you know, when we do that, I feel like you have to start back at the beginning. You have to start with Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that God put everything here. God has placed this earth into motion. Everything that we see and we interact with, God has created. And we believe that that happened in six literal 24-hour days. We believe in an amazing God. But in the garden, when God first created man, Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden and gave them the right to choose for themselves, and they disobeyed God. They chose to disobey, and through that, sin entered into the world. And these things that are unpleasant, these things that are part of the curse, mosquitoes, I feel like that's right there at the top. But the things that we experience that cause us pain and trials entered in at that same time that sin does. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's the moment when death entered the world, when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And so, paired up with that, you know, you have this magnificent, this incredible moment, this really notable moment in history where sin and death and pain and suffering, all these things that are horrible, are unleashed on the world and unleashed unto mankind through our own choices. At that very moment, God makes a promise that I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to give you mercy. He told Adam and Eve that he was going to send someone, that the seed of their offspring would be the one that would conquer Satan and conquer death. And so that to me is the beginning of Christmas, is when we think about Genesis, when we think about the beginning, when sin and pain and suffering, all these hard things that sometimes we tend to associate even with Christmas, when all that got started, God made a promise. So that's the first part of Christmas, I believe, is that God keeps His promises. Because you can watch the progression that followed, you know, the history of the Jewish people is nothing short of amazing. I don't, you know, if you do the research, it's interesting to see that there are only two ancient cultures that have survived till today, and those are the children of Abraham, which was the promise of God. God keeps His promises. He let the Jewish people survive. He let the nation of Israel survive through all kinds of trials and troubles until the time when He was ready to send His Son. And even more than that, He was ready to send the pride and joy of heaven, the crown of heaven, the very pinnacle of everything that summed up who God was. He was willing and ready to send to save His creation. And I like to think about that moment when God said, now. Now it's time. You can go now. And I'd love to think how the angels reacted to that and how heaven reacted. How, you know, when we have significant moments, when somebody wins a Super Bowl or a national championship, we usually have a parade. I can only imagine the parade down the streets of gold as Jesus went forward to come to earth. And the angels thinking, this is the moment. This is what we've been waiting for. We've been struggling against Satan and the fallen angels. We've been serving the Lord. now is the moment when the fight begins. Now is the moment when we get to take back what is right. And Jesus came and was born to people of very little means, more than likely. I don't think the carpenters were exceptionally wealthy people at the time. He was born just as a normal child. In a manger. There was no room for them in the inn where they were staying. They were dealing with an overly intrusive government and high taxes, if that sounds familiar. Very ordinary, very, very human circumstances. And you got to wonder, you know, if the angels were confused. They said, "Lord, when? When is it time for us to win? When do we get to conquer? When do we get to defeat the evil? When do we get to see power come forth from Jesus?" So Jesus grew up, and I got to imagine he was raised just as a normal Jewish boy would have been at the time. Had siblings. I'm sure that was cause for some commotion in the household of Joseph. Why can't you be more like your brother? Your brother is literally perfect. What is wrong with you? You guys that have siblings, no, that would be disastrous. But I'm sure it was a very normal home. I'm sure there were those moments when there were scraped knees and bumped elbows and messes and things like that frustrated or upset Mary and Joseph. But the whole time Jesus grew up, I think he began to know and began to learn and began to see the plan that God had put in place. And by the time that he had grown into an adult, he was given a ministry. He was given an opportunity to preach repentance, turning from sin, turning from disobeying God, and turning to the Lord to receive forgiveness and compassion. That was the beginning of Jesus' ministry after he was baptized by John the Baptist. He went out and began to say, "Look, the things that you are doing that are disobeying God, you have to turn away from that." So he had a miraculous and very eventful, very popular ministry. People were flocking to him, were coming to him. There were all kinds of crazy, amazing things that were happening that people said, "We've never seen this before. We've never seen someone speak like this before. We've never seen these types of miracles before." But it was happening. And the religious leaders of the time saw that as a threat to their establishment. They saw that as something that was not able to be controlled. It was something that was quote-unquote radical. And decided that it was not in their best interest to allow that to continue. So, through a series of lies and deceits, despicable things that were flat-out falsehoods that couldn't even be proven, they were able to get Jesus arrested. They were able to get him before the authorities, the Roman authorities who had control over the land, who were in charge, before Pilate. And Pilate was ready to release him because he was innocent. Done nothing wrong. But that wasn't the plan of God. And I still wonder what's happening at the moment in heaven. When all this is happening, when Jesus has been arrested, when the disciples have fled and abandoned Jesus, when there's no more crowds, there's no more miracles, there's no more exciting things, great things that are happening. People are no longer waving palm branches. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now he's being spit on. Now he's being ridiculed. What must have been going through those angels' heads? "Lord, when? Lord, can we go now? Is now the time? Is now the moment when we get to unleash judgment? When you get to show yourself sovereign?" Even though Jesus was innocent, even though he had done nothing wrong, broken no laws, he was convicted and he was sentenced to death. And it was not a pleasant death, not an easy death, not something where we might think he just made the decision and that was it. The Romans chose crucifixion as a means of execution for a reason. It was a statement. As far as we know to date, it is still the most brutal and cruel way of torturing and killing people. The first part of that process was the scourging, was the beating, by which we won't get into the details, but they would essentially skin people alive and beat them beyond recognition or beyond healing. And then he was taken to the place where the crucifixions happened. It was called the place of the skull. Not a very pleasant place to be. Nailed to a cross. I can almost hear the angels. Lord, when? When can we go? When that cross was raised up in the air, I can just feel the hatred and the anger that burned against humans from these angels, these ones who have done the bidding of God, the ones that have been His messengers, the ones who have been the ones to carry out His will, to carry everything, and even to bear tidings of good news and great joy for all people, peace on earth. Not 30, 33 years before. Lord, when? When will be the time? I can just imagine God staying silent and waiting. Even beyond the physical side of crucifixion and the abuse that Jesus took. Was the fact that God allowed Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. When God established the nation of Israel and gave them His commandments, He set in place rules and laws for how they were to make atonement for the things that they had done wrong. Usually that was accompanied by the sacrifice of an animal. Something along those lines to have a physical blood payment for the sins that had been committed against God. God allowed Jesus to be that. And a lot of times we'll talk about the sins of humanity being laid on Jesus. And, you know, I think it's interesting. It's not just maybe some sorrow. I don't think for Jesus it was just being upset at what was being done. I think every single instance of us hating ourselves, us hating each other, us being proud of ourselves or being proud of somebody else in an unjust way, us being greedy, us being unloving or unkind or bitter, all the feelings, all the weights, all the emotions that have ever accompanied even one sin, all the guilt was placed on Jesus. And I can imagine the shock and the disdain even that the angels felt for Jesus at that moment when they saw the sins of humanity, the people that they were probably wanting to come and kill being laid on Jesus. How confused that must have been. How can this be? How can it be that the Son of God is now a stench? It's disgusting. And even God the Father turned away. Could not look. Would not look. And it's in that moment, with that great of cost, that high of a price, that serious of a moment, when sin was broken. Power of death was broken. Every chain, every weight that we have piled on ourselves or picked up along the way of life's journey was broken. Humanity was given a chance. And I think about the 3 days that passed after Jesus was killed on the cross and how that must have went. You're waiting. What now? Is this it? Is this over? Is Jesus no more? Is this everything that must be given for these people that don't deserve it, that continue to hate each other and to lie and steal and cheat? And after 3 days, God said, you know what? It's not enough just to give them a chance, just to forgive. God said, I want to give them life. I want to give them freedom. And that's the moment when He raised His Son back to life, raised Jesus back to life. And by that action, we are given life. We're given freedom. Everything that held us back before is no longer in the way. And Christmas has a huge part in that. Because it is God keeping His promise. It is God showing His faithfulness. It's God demonstrating His omnisciency. It is God showing us that He knows far better than we do how to take care of us, how to provide for us, but that He knows far better than we do how to love us and care for us and wants a relationship with us. And whether you've already come to that point or you need to, God wants a relationship with you. Not just I know God, I know about this. Sure, yeah, Christmas, ho ho ho. God wants to get close to you. God wants to be a part of your life every day. But God is not going to enter someone and interact and live with someone who is covered in sin, covered in the things that were laid on Jesus that were so offensive. We have to accept the free gift that was given, the sacrifice that was given, the blood payment that was given on Calvary for God to come in and dwell with us. So let's bow our heads together. Maybe today, if you've never taken that step of saying, God, I know that Jesus died, and I know all these things that happened. I've been told about this, or maybe I haven't, but I do know this. This is what happened. I never had that moment where I accepted this, where I said, Lord, I deserve to be up there on that cross. I deserve to have all those things done to me. Lord, I deserve an eternity in hell apart from You. But God, in spite of that, I would like to take the mercy that You are extending to me. You don't have to say the certain words, but just tell them that you want that mercy, you want that gift, you want that perfect present that was given so long ago. You want a relationship with Him, you want forgiveness for your sins, you want eternity in heaven. Just tell Him if that's what you want this morning, just tell Him. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God, we love You so much. And God, as we approach Christmas, Lord, would You allow us to not just to keep the right perspective of what it is we're celebrating, God, but to really grab a hold of it, Lord, and to celebrate it to the fullest. God, because we know that You have given us everything. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above, God. You give everything. And You are faithful to keep Your promises. God, and You know what we need. Lord, would You allow us to enjoy Christmas? God, is a time to celebrate the gift that You gave, the time when You allowed Your Son to come to earth to die for us. God, would You allow us to be a light? Would You allow us to love it? God, to love every second of it. And to share that love and that hope with those around us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask Dad to come to the front. If you, maybe just a moment ago, told the Lord, I want that gift, I want that moment, I want that freedom, come down to the front. We'd love to talk to you. Love to pray with you. If you need a moment to come and just pray, or grab a friend or a family member to come and pray, please do that. Come if you want to come and pray at the foot of the cross. That's what this is here for. But now's the time.
Stands an endless mercy tree.
just as they waited in that day and that time for the return, for the coming of the Lord Jesus, we wait today for His return. And when He comes, as He will, He will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will establish peace upon this earth. But I want to say to you today, you can have that peace in your heart today. You don't have to wait. And if you don't have it, I invite you to come and grab me after the service, or somebody here that knows Jesus. They'd be happy to talk to you about how to know Him, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, did you enjoy the service this morning? Lots of good stuff. Thank all of you. Thank all of you who sang and played and took part. It's a blessing. And appreciate every one of you. It's awesome. All right, so we're going to get back together tonight. Hope you come back tonight. And the drama team will meet at 5 p.m. And if you'd like to help with snacks or finger food type stuff for the drama team and the crew, just try to have it here by 5:30 or so in the Awana room. And that'll give them a little something between time for the service. The service will be at 6:30, and it's the story of Christmas, and it's told really simply, but I think it's really going to be a fun evening, and it'll be meaningful. So I hope you'll come and join us as we retell and walk through the story and just kind of bow with the shepherds, with the wise men, and just worship. So hope you'll join us this evening. All right, any word we need to mention before we dismiss? Let's stand together. And let's pray and ask God's hand to be upon us and our families this coming week, and just that He will be lifted up in our hearts and in our lives. And I want to ask Brother Gary Stubblefield, if you would, Brother, would you pray for us?